Has everything been with you guys?
Who wants to go first?
You go, Brace.
I don't know. I was not going to talk. It's been interesting. That's all. So just say that right there.
Right.
Yeah, it's and not a good interesting.
Okay, all right, okay.
I'm not sure why, but it actually all led up into a lie bust, so maybe that's what that was.
All right, yeah.
And that was exhausting. I've gone through a lot of healing and a lot of deliverance, and that was really quick. I mean, you end the lie bust and you go, what? You open your eyes and go, wow, how did we get here?
Yeah.
And then that led to something interesting. We were talking last time about I was asking, when you finish your getting your junk all cleared, and when do you go out into the city kind of thing. And so Jody and I went to church, and we just happened to go there because I needed to get something from her. And so and it was the time change, and it was really anyway. So we got there, and we were just waiting, and then all of a sudden this Kairos moment opened up, and the pastor had, kind of wanted to not upset the apple cart, and I'm like, ooh, here we go, here we go. And I instantly knew we needed to get up and activate the mobile courts and repent for whatever was going on. And it just happened that we were allowed to do that, and it's a very open place, and we just got up and led the whole everybody through. It was really good. And I just realized, I looked at her and I said, oh my gosh, that was our first corporate moment outside our own bodies.
Yeah, good,
And
excellent.
so anyway,
Yeah, very good. Great.
I don't know if all that stuff was worth that, but yeah.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm definitely sure it will be. Okay. So, does anyone else want to share anything? I mean, what would you like to do today? I mean, feel free to share. So.
Hi, Mike. Good morning. I was at my mountain, and I've been to my heart, and that's new for me.
Yeah.
And like today, I guess I'd like to know about the anointing, if we can talk about that, how that moves.
In anointing in what sort of sense?
Like in the physical type of sense where it comes out, and it's not just in, in your mind.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my sort of revelation that I sort of in terms, sometimes you have an anointing that's present because the presence of God is there, and you're operating with that anointing because of an atmosphere. And sometimes there's an anointing because of a gift that you have a gift of the Spirit flowing, and therefore there's an anointing that comes. An authorization and power that comes with that gift, whether it's associated with a gift of healing or word of knowledge or whatever. But when I was my first encounter, sort of major encounter in the realm of heaven, and the Spirit of God took me and showed me creation and showed me how God is present in everything. Ephesians 4:6 talks about God being in, through, and above all things. And so I had a quantum physics lesson, which really I was not, I didn't understand. I didn't understand what that was at the time. But he told me about grace, and he explained that. When creation took place, and he took me back and showed me creation being spoken into existence as the lion spoke and roared creation into being. It was awesome, you know, and I saw the whole thing just begin to come out as a living flow of his words and thoughts that came together. And he described, you know, the natural realm and the spiritual realm and how they were connected, and he gave me an understanding of zero point energy, of how the spiritual realm is what keeps this realm into order. It says, well, you know, the voice of his power is what keeps this whole realm from disappearing, really, and falling apart. And so he described that as his voice and the voice of creation still vibrating at a subatomic level as strings of energy. And then he told me about string theory and a dimensional string theory, and it's pretty much way out there stuff, but it's fairly scientific, you know, it's a fairly scientific theory that is out there. But he told me about it, and he said that his grace was the strings that are vibrating that keeps everything in order in this creative realm, and that the spiritual realm, which is the real realm, is what keeps this realm and connects this realm. And so we are all connected to that spiritual realm, and we are going in and out of that spiritual realm every 20,000th of a billionth of a second, which I think is Planck's constant. And so, but because it's so small, and our atoms or the particles of our atoms in terms of the strings are being fed with that energy, it was like we are connected, and we can draw from that spiritual realm that energy because we're connected to it. And that means we can step into that realm because we're connected to it. And so I got a whole sort of understanding around that. And so then about, you know, getting on to the anointing, I was saying, well, what does that mean? You know, because he showed me certain miracles and how to do certain things. Because, you know, when I'm talking to Jesus, Jesus kept saying, well, what do you want to know? And so a thought would come into my mind, and I'd ask him, and he would tell me. So sometimes it was like, how did he do that miracle? And so he'd show me how he did it and give me understanding of how he did it. And so how he described it was, you know, this grace, this vibrating energy, which is actually the presence of God within everything, and it's in the fiber of everything, because God is in all things. It's there. When I apply faith, so faith is like, okay, let's say we want an anointing to cast out demons, or we want an anointing to heal the sick. When I apply faith, so the word of God says you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's like what I'm doing is I am creating that connection through my faith gate in my spirit to, let's say, my hand. I lay hands on somebody. Now, when I lay hands on someone, usually there's a vibration or a heat, and people feel heat, and you get that energy which is being produced within our hand, which is not natural energy. That is the anointing, the charge of energy that comes when you put grace and faith together. So the grace, which is in my hand as the presence of God's vibrating energy, which is within the particles of my hand, which is there, sounds pretty weird, but I apply faith and it produces anointing. And so that's how anointing works. And it's like, yes, sometimes there is an anointing because the presence of God comes, but we need to be able to release that anointing when we need to release it. And not dependent on an atmosphere of worship or whatever, how awesome an atmosphere of worship is in releasing things. Actually, when I'm in a room and someone's dead and I need to raise the dead, and there's no worship band and there's no one else and I'm there on my own, what am I going to do? Well, I need to draw from within me through my faith gate, obviously, if it's God's intention that I raise the person from the dead, because I only need to do what I see the Father doing. So I connect up with what the Father's doing, and then my words will also carry the grace of God, And when they're mixed with faith, they produce an anointing that can speak life and speak creativity and speak creative power to engage with the grace of God that's in that person or where their spirit is, because if they'd left their body and they're dead, then their spirit would be in some place or other, either with God or not with God. Then you connect, and then you are then transferring that power of God and the energy of God to connect up with people. And then I then started to just ask God more about it. How does this work? You know, what am I actually doing when I'm doing that? What does that anointing do? What do the words do? What does the vibrating energy do, or the heat or the vibration do when you lay hands on someone? So then I then began to see what it did to that person at an atomic level, at a genetic level, at a cellular level. It actually begins to bring everything back at a set into order. Or if there is something in the cells which shouldn't be there, it actually dissipates it and forces it out. And then I began to see the revelation of, okay, so if there are genetic things that were within us, which are waiting to be triggered, to trigger disease or to trigger other things, can we change those genetic makeup at that level by speaking words and applying the thoughts of God and our thoughts as faith, if you like, a substance of those things? And then as we speak, our words can actually transform and change things and change matter, and it can change, because it's all energy. You know, matter is just energy in a vibrating frequency. You know, and I think someone posted something on one of the Facebook things the other day, a quote from Einstein that says, you know, if you bring any vibrating frequency into alignment, then nothing's impossible, sort of thing. And so what we're doing is we're bringing things into an alignment, and we're bringing energy into an alignment, and we're seeing things change and things can be transformed. But you got to sort of practice at it, and you got to, you know. And some people, they're just very happy just to sort of believe it's magic, really. How does someone get healed? Oh, well, it sort of just happens. Whereas, you know, I want to know how things happen, and so I ask God, show me how they happen. So now when I pray for someone for healing, I am seeing what's going on, and I'm speaking or touching that area, and I'm releasing anointing that is very much the energy which is coming out of the realm of the spirit to touch that person and transform them at a cellular level, genetic level, in an area. So that's how I see physical anointing connected to the realm of the spirit, and connected in anything. You know, God is in everything. You know, and that means that we can put our hands through solid objects and do those things because we control the vibrating frequency of our hand, and if we align it with the frequency of the material, then it goes through it. Now, I know how that works. I've never done it. I've never needed to do it. But when I do need to do it, I know how to do it. And you know, it's not a party trick, so I don't sort of pull it out and do it just because I could, because you have to only do what you see the Father doing. And so in releasing anointing and using anointing to do the works of Jesus and do greater works, you have to see what the Father's doing. Just because there's an issue in front of you doesn't mean that the Father is doing anything. You need to know, because then you have authority and faith is active. If you're hoping or wondering, then it just doesn't work, you know. So we need to be connected to the realm of the spirit to see what the Father's doing, to know his heart, and then we can release that into practical ways we would see as an anointing. But, you know, there's many more dimensional ways of dealing with things like that, in terms of once you engage with the unseen realm and you can see those things that are going on in the unseen realm, and you can engage with the angelic in the unseen realm, and they're all cooperating and working in this as well. So that's how I would see practical anointing work. But I don't know whether that's what you meant or not.
No, that was good. Thank you so much. Wow.
Okay. All right, excellent. Okie dokie. Anyone else want to share something or talk about something?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mike, I had my first dream with a dragon.
Right,
and
yeah.
So the dragon was attacking planes that were in like an airport and took like a chomp out of one of the planes. And I kind of went back into that dream, and my question in the dream was, why aren't the planes in the air? And then I saw the dragon was flying in, like almost like a plane landing in the airport. And so I kind of just went back into that dream and dealt with the dragon. But I just wondered if you had any counsel or insight onto something like that, what I should do, or if I did what I was supposed to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
you've got to go with your basic gut instincts in those things, situations. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like when we have a dream, what is the symbolism of the dream? So what did the airplanes represent? Now, often in dreams, vehicles and things like that represent ministry. And so, you know, the airplanes were on the floor. So you could see that that was an earthly ministry that wasn't connected to the realm of heaven. So the enemy was able to come from above and attack that and take chomps out of those ministries because they aren't connected to the realm of heaven, and therefore they're earthbound. And there are a lot of ministries that are operating in stewardship, operating in great power and a great authority, but are not accepting the next step to come into the new things of God, to engage in the realms of heaven. And there's a line going to be drawn where those ministries have to make decisions on whether they're going to embrace new things or whether they're going to stay sticking with the old, when God is going to leave the old behind. So sometimes those sort of things, you say, okay, what does this mean? The fact that there were different planes and it was an airport is probably indicative that it's not your own personal ministry, but it's actually a place where ministries are. And that airport could represent a church. It could represent a city, or it could represent a town. But it's, okay, what is the symbolism of it? And for you, it seemed that you were obviously showing the picture to deal with the dragon that would then help those planes to be able to get off the ground. And so, yeah, when you deal with the dragon like that, we need to deal with it from above, usually. So we're coming from a higher level of authority. And it depends, again, what the symbolism is of the picture that you're having or the dream you're having. I when I deal with a dragon, I just take a sword and use the word of God to deal with it, particularly if I know what the dragon is. If it's to do a particular mountain or a particular sphere, then I would take the mandate that I've got in that sphere as my authority. And usually dragons are quite small when I see them because I'm not intimidated and they're not really big. For some people, they see it as like, oh, it's this huge dragon. And often, whenever they then speak something that comes flowing out of their life, out of their heart, whether it's a scripture or a truth or a prophetic declaration, the dragon, either in the dream, they get bigger or the dragon gets smaller and you end up, hey, I can deal with this. But to start with, sometimes there's an intimidation. Wow, this is so big. How do I deal with this? Or it's flying. How do I even engage it? But, you know, God wouldn't have shown you it if you didn't have an authority in the area, you know, whether it is a church or whether it is a different area. You just need to find what that means in the interpretation. But when you deal with a dragon, you chop its head off and chop its tail off, you know, in the dreams, in the visions, chop its head, chop its tail, and split it open. And when you split it open, then you will see what it has blocked or hindered or restricted or removed from those ministries. You know, and quite often what comes out, you know, if it's a personal dragon that's on your own personal mountains, that you, or you know, something that you have definite authority in, then usually when it's split open, it will contain things that relate to that mountain. It could be finances, it could be jewels, it could be scrolls. You know, I've seen things come out of things, or mentored people that talk to me. They've seen shoes come out of it. They've seen umbrellas come out of them, all sorts of things, because it's a symbolic thing. It's like, what do they represent? You know, and you know, you can help people understand the symbolism of some of those things. So, you know, well, the one that they saw loads of shoes, you know, and I think, okay. So immediately when I think of shoes, I think of, you know, the sandals of the gospel. And so I said, oh, you know, do you feel you're called to bring good news to people? Oh, yeah, yeah. So I think, well, it's not just one pair of shoes. So this represents many pairs of shoes. So you're actually going to disciple others to bring good news, not just do it yourself. So it was like, okay, you have a calling here in the office of that to be able to release many people in that. Because you sort of pick up a flow, and then it's whether that it, whether people connect with it when you sort of share some interpretations of it. Yeah, but I've seen all sorts of stuff, really, and lots of people have had things where I think, wow, that's really interesting stuff, you know, and then it's like, okay, what do I do with that? Well, then I can take that stuff, I can either take that back into myself if it's something personal for me, I could go into the realm of heaven, I could trade with that and present it before God and sow it, you know, for a multiplication. You know, I could then use, if it's a scroll, I could take the scroll, find out what's on it, and I can then go and get it authorized and use it. It just depends completely on what comes out of a dragon. But there will be things that they've robbed that belong to whatever it is, whether it's a mountain, in this sense, a plane, which, you know, would be a vehicle, which is probably a vehicle for ministry, you know. But it's looking at the symbol of it. It's on the ground, and those things are key. You know, the fact if it was in the air, you'd have a different dimension. You know, last year I went over to Ireland, and while I was in the plane going over to Ireland, it was, you know, it was a ministry weekend, and I was going to do some workshops with people. So I'm traveling in the plane, I'm just minding my own business, and I'm just reading a book, and I look out the window, and there's this big white dragon just circling around the plane. I mean, it's a really big dragon, it's white. I'm sort of looking, thinking, oh, okay, yeah, interesting. Wasn't fazed by it, because I think, okay, God is showing me something towards the weekend. So, you know, I get to stay with the people I'm staying with, and I get chatting to them. So I say, okay, have you had any experiences recently, lately, anything you've seen? Oh, yeah, I had this dream where this white dragon was chasing me, you know, I'm being chased by this white dragon. So I said, well, what do you do? What do you deal with it? Well, no, I just escaped and came out of my dream. So okay. So it was really interesting. So in the end of the weekend on the Sunday morning, you know, I got to invest their bench of three for Ireland, and I took them into the realms of heaven, and we got some mandates and some scrolls. And while we were there, I said, look, we have to deal with this dragon. And I don't do things unless I get authorized to do them. And I sort of asked God, I said, look, am I authorized to deal with this dragon? And so he said, yeah, you can deal with it. That's why I showed you in the plane. You can deal with it. So I killed this dragon, split it open, and out came seven scrolls, seven chests, seven swords, you know, four groups of seven things, you know. And so I basically just share this. And encourage them then as a bench to take those things and to release them, you know, because one of the mandates was there needs to be seven mountains, and therefore each of these things were part of the seven mountains thing. So you get all these things that have come together in those type of dreams and pictures and symbolism, but you just go with your gut instincts often. So I don't know if that helps.
That does. Thank you so much.
Okay.
That really does.
Okay. Anything else?
Mike, I'm just curious. I mean, you know, there's so much going on, you know, in the spirit. So the Lord brings you on lots of adventures. It's like, okay,
Yeah.
What are we going to, how are we going to deal with all these things? And so, you know, it's just like all these layers of stuff and you just kind of go. Is that just what, I mean, you've done this a long time, so I'm just asking. It's a bit overwhelming to say the least.
Yeah. It can appear so. And it can appear like, oh, this is really complicated. And, you know, and if you get one of Ian's diagrams of a map of the heavens, it's like, wow, what's all that about? I can understand that, but there are basic protocols of the kingdom. I mean, every kingdom has its protocols. You know, our kingdom, we're called the United Kingdom. We have a queen and we've got a government and we have a cabinet and we have different protocols of how they do things. We've got different court systems, you know, so there are different, you know, right down from, we've got the local family court and we've got magistrates court and county court and up to Supreme Court and the House of Lords ultimately. And so there's a protocol, and when you don't know that protocol, everything can seem really, really, I don't understand how this works, what is this, what do we do here? But once you get the basic principles of the protocols, they begin to apply right throughout the different realms of heaven. And a lot of people, you know, have had different encounters in different places, but can't really necessarily understand how they all fit together, which is really why understanding the dimension of rulership, where all the protocols take place, you know, is a different pathway to the relationship pathway. And so from engaging in relationship and intimacy, you know, and I think last time we went and looked into some of the realms in the waterfalls and things like that, you know, all those things are intimate, relational, and they're experiential and revelatory, and they begin to change and transform us at that level. When you step into the realm of the kingdom of God, you it's about rulership. So you need to understand how to use the courts. Well, you've obviously done those things with courts. So the mobile court is the basic, you know, how you deal with accusations and how you deal with familiar things, how you deal with personal things and maybe even corporate things or area things, which are legal rights the enemy has of access to block and to hinder and to do things. And so using that, you know, we have a basic protocol there for dealing with things which are hindrances and obstacles. So that's the first basic principle to understand. Then it's recognizing that everything works in the realm of the kingdom through mandates. We don't do things that we're not mandated to do. And really, that's basically the same thing Jesus saying, I don't only do what I see the Father doing. So we need a mandate to do things. And that mandate can be a personal mandate to our own life, and therefore our personal call or destiny to rule in those areas that God's given us. We have a mandate. You know, you could see that as a scroll, your destiny scroll, which has specific mandates for the different mountains. So each of the seven mountains would have a mandate attached to it, which gives you authorization to rule that mountain. And you rule it from the mountain, which is you, really. It's your identity in the realm of heaven, your throne in the realm of heaven, which is you know, the mountain you get invested with authority then to rule all the other mountains. So once you sort of pick up the general principles of those things, it's fairly easy to then to begin to navigate what you need to do. So I don't do anything without getting a scroll. So where do I get a scroll? Well, you can go to the scroll room and get a scroll because it's full of scrolls. But yeah, I get my scrolls generally around the presence of God in the ark. Yeah, around the ark. And the mercy seat, because that's where, you know, the three things that are in the ark, the manna and the tablets and Aaron's rod, and around the ark is the manifestation of the presence of God and the four faces of God. And everything that I'm going to do out of his presence. So I'm going to see out of his presence because I'm in him. I'm going to speak out of his presence because I'm in him. So I'm seeing, having a perspective of things from his presence. So I go around the ark every day, and I look to engage with the four faces of God that are manifesting there, and I'm going to find out what is the will of God for me today. That's what I want to know. What am I mandated to do today? And so I will go there, and I will inquire of the presence of God there, what is your will? So I go and say, and my thing is, okay, I don't want my will, so I want not my will, yours be done. What is your will? So I want to take that manna. Because Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I've got food that you don't know of, and my food is to do the will of the Father who sent me. And so that is very much, that is my capacity or strength or ability to outwork the will of God for the day comes from taking that and applying it for the day. And I personally believe that we get one day's supply at a time. Fresh mercies every morning. And you know, if you keep looking to the past and are affected by the past, then your resources will run out because you're using today's resources on yesterday. If you keep worrying about the future, then you'll run out of today's resources because you keep using tomorrow's resources today, trying to use them. And so it's very much about getting what you need for today. And I look to come into a resonance with the frequency of God's will. And that can come as words, it can come as sensations, impressions, but I want to resonate with the frequency that he carries. It can come as light, lots of different ways you can experience it, but you become to come into alignment with it. And so that alignment lines up my day with God's will. And sometimes that's very specific. And I will get very specific things that I need to do today. And then sometimes it will be more general in the, okay, go and do, you know, to do with this mountain or to do with something I already have a mandate to do. So I get that sort of sense of what is it that God is giving me revelation on for the day. And then I also found there that as I spent time around the Ark of the Presence and I engaged with the names of God, you know, and the Yod and the He and the Vav of He around that, and that connects me to the kingly and the prophetic and the apostolic and the priestly functions of God in that, then I began to find myself aligned with one face or another. And that would give me a drawing towards certain things I needed to do as well. And I found as I spent more time there, the desires of my heart changed. You know, because one of the things that's also there is the tablets of stone, which obviously represented the 10 tablets which Moses wrote, but in reality, God wrote the first tablets, you know, on the sapphire trading floor and released it. So there's a sense there that he then says he writes things on the tablets of our hearts, and we get a, for me, how it works for me is, it's like my destiny, when I come into the presence of God and the four faces of God, starts to align, you know, and I start to get an alignment with it, and I suddenly find that my desires start to change, and I get drawn towards my destiny, and I make decisions then that would draw me towards my destiny, you know. So all that stuff is where you begin to get a clear mandate. What am I supposed to do? You know, and so Aaron's rod is the third thing that's in the ark, and that obviously represents life being budded, but also a symbol of authority. A rod is a symbol of authority. So when I've got a mandate, then I tend to take my symbol of authority and go to my mountain and then direct something from my mountain. Or if it's a new mandate, or I feel this is something I haven't done before, then I would go and use my understanding of the different courts to get that mandate authorized. So the first place I usually take it is to the Court of Chancellors, which are, they're all to do with the protocol of heaven. And I take it before the bench of the chancellors that are there. And my experience is that it gets sealed. And depending on what seals are on it, will give me an insight into, again, certain things. So often I see it get sealed with the lion or the ox or the eagle. Those are the three seals that I've seen sealed there for myself personally. And then once I sense, yeah, I've been authorized to use this mandate, I will get a sense of what I need to do. Because I'm in a court where I'm presenting this mandate, and a scroll actually gets presented to me with revelation. And that may be direct revelation of something I need to do. So I need to go into this realm and I need to do something. It can also be revelation that I need to go to my mountain and I need to speak some things, declare some things, move, shift some mountains out of the way. You know, use the keys of the kingdom to lock and unlock some things. Just depending on what you sort of get an understanding of the scroll is, you know, I then often would take that scroll into the Court of Angels. And in the Court of Angels, I would get angelic assignment for that scroll. And even for my day, you know, I want to assign angels for my day to go before me and prepare the way. And there may be specific ranks of angels that do that. There may well be, you know, I've got my own personal angels that are with me in this realm around me. But again, you know, I send out to do things at certain times, you know. But these are, in the realm of the Court of Angels, you're looking really for those that will accept assignment and are called. And, you know, like God, you know, God had a thing where he was wanting to do something with Ahab, and he sort of went, he was in the court and the council of the angels, and it was like, okay, who's going to go? And an angel sort of came forward and volunteered. You know, so angels are there waiting for us for their assignments. You know, and so that's again another protocol that you can use to outwork the mandate that you've been given. And you know, there are other things. You know, if you need wisdom, then you go to meet with wisdom on the heights, and you will get, because she's there to help you rule. And so if it's the protocol of rulership and what I need to do in this area, then you get certain wisdom, and you can ask her to give you revelation of the protocols. She taught me the protocols. So she took me to the different courts and showed me. First I went to observe, and then I was taken with a scroll, and I took a scroll there, and I got it authorized, and I took it to the Court of Scribes, and I got it put into record. You know, depending on whether it's a scroll you've been given or whether you produce a scroll. Because when, you know, we're all talking about the realm of the kingdom of God here, and that's a realm of lordship in which we're operating in the authority of lordship. You know, when you get invested into a higher level of authority in kingship, you get the fun of going to the Court of Kings, and you can go and make scrolls. You just don't get given scrolls, you can go and make them. And they come out of the desires that are birthed in your heart in alignment with your destiny. And that's great stuff. You know, then you can take those scrolls that you make. You know, and when I went into the Court of Kings, I sat at a bench. I wasn't standing before the bench. I was sat at a bench. And there was a scroll in front of me. And it was just like out of my innermost being came this whole declaration that was written on this scroll. You know, as I was bringing it out, it was just appearing on the scroll. You know, and I was like, wow. You know, but wisdom took me there. You know, and so then I'm like, okay, well, what do I do with it now? So she took me to the Court of Chancellors, and I got it authorized and stamped and agreed. Then she took me to the Court of Scribes, and I got it transcribed, and it was, you know, just there in the air. And it was like, yeah, that's it. And then it got scrolled and put into record. Now, because it's in record, now I can actually begin to outwork it. So then you can then take that to the Court of Angels. You can take that scroll to your own mountain. You can begin to go to the Court of War, which is the strategy place, and get a strategy for the scroll. Now, it sounds, it sounds a little bit complicated, but it's really fairly basically the same things you do, you know. And once you have those engagements, then you have the confidence to outwork the scroll. And there are some times that you need to get earthly agreement. So, you know, when we operate as a bench of three, you know, we often take scrolls in together, and we get them authorized in the Chancellor's Court, and then we often go to the strategy court and, okay, what is it we need to do with this? And, you know, the three of us, you know, bring government, but you always need the fourth to open up the door or the window to bring a release of what it is that's on it. And there's a limit to what you can do without earthly agreement, even if you are operating in heaven. You know, so we have taken scrolls and we've brought them and presented them to, you know, groups here within the church. You know, we've got a council of 12, and we've presented scrolls and said, okay, we need earthly agreement with this. Are you in agreement? And so then sometimes in 12 of us have stepped back into one of the courts and made a declaration to align heaven and earth, you know. So once you really are familiar with it and it becomes a practiced pathway, your spirit will just direct you what to do and where to go. You know, you just know, I need to take this to the court of angels. I need to take this to the court of war. You just know because it's just part of the protocol which you've just learned to engage in. You know, and obviously there are other places you can go. You know, there are specific things. You can go to mantle rooms, and you can go to the treasury room, and you can go and engage with the seven spirits of God and different things. But in general terms, we need to learn to administer the kingdom, and therefore we need to do it from a position of authority. And those things are what releases those authorities for us, you know, and they're powerful, you know. You know, so those are sort of some of the basic protocols, you know, of the kingdom, you know, which all of us can do, you know, really. But, and, you know, we can do it, you know, we can go into a court and we can go and get a scroll and we can go present it before the Court of Chancellors and you can go follow the process through, you know. Does that help? I mean, I am working on developing pathways that will put all these things and map them all out for people so that people can sort of at least have a bit of a guide map. But once you've established it, you know, it's just second nature to me now. It's like, you know, I don't do something unless I have a mandate to do it. So, and to get a mandate, I go and get one and ask for one, or I get given one, and then I know what to do with it once I've got it.
Yeah. I think that's really good. It's just, you know, when you see so much, that's my challenge. It's just like, it's a little overwhelming at the beginning. And I know how to decree, and that's the biggest thing I'm feeling the Spirit of God is saying, the decreeing on my part, and the time is short, and it's like things are overgrown, and it's like, okay, there's an urgency here, but I'm only can do what I, you know, sense the Spirit or wisdom or the Lord leading me and directing me. So that gives me insight to just kind of go through those channels probably better.
Yeah. A lot of it is, you know, we get sort of some forerunner encounters, and yeah, sometimes it can be a little difficult pulling it all together or sort of really understanding it. But once you're sort of operating in the realm of authority and kingdom authority, then, you know, it does become easier. You know, it becomes easier, and your spirit begins to lead you, because your spirit has this pathway within it. You know, you learn the protocols by doing them, and the more you do them, the easier the protocols become. You know, it's the same thing. You're forming connections in the spirit that lead you and direct you and guide you along these sort of pathways. You know, but there's a whole lot of, you know, new and stuff which we're learning all the time. You know, I've had some encounters recently which I'd never had before. You know, and I think, wow, you know, I know the process to go through to make sure that I can get the revelation of that encounter and go back to it and then begin to outwork it. So, you know, I had an encounter with the Galactic Council, and, you know, it was a wild encounter, and I'm like, wow, I was completely blown away. But I know enough that God wouldn't take me there and show me it if there wasn't a purpose behind it. So I just go back to him in my own personal intimacy and say, okay, what is it? What were you trying to show me? What do I need to do? And so I was on my mountain one day, and I was you know, operating in a regional sense, and I was making some declarations, and I felt my spirit just draw me and say, you know, yeah, this is, you're doing this to the degree that you have authority to do it, and that's good. But you can get a galactic authority that will release things and do things at a greater level. So I'm like, oh, right, okay. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to step back into that galactic thing. What do I need to do? So I think I need to prepare a case to present before that council for them to act. So I'm thinking, okay, what is this case to do with? So I start thinking about that, and I step back into the court, and I've really felt bold. You know, and I felt, and I just presented this case that came out of my spirit, and I presented prophetic words from the past that have been prophesied over our area. I brought visions, I brought this stuff, I brought things, and I was like, wow. And so I presented them before the court, and they sort of, they said, okay, we will take that under advisement. I thought, oh, I was a bit disappointed, thinking, wow, I've presented this great case, you know, and they said, no, we'll take it under advisement, but we need to determine the levels of judgment, justice, and grace that will be applied. And so they sit over a period of several months outworking a lot of these things that they then have doors that can open to release things. And you know, so there are some things I brought which were, this is not going to happen in our area because we're in authority here. And there were a lot of things which were much more about, yeah, this is the things we are going to see. You know, and so that was something I'd never done before, you know, but because I have learned the protocols in general of the court, I learned that my spirit can really guide me and direct me towards it, you know, and, you know, and there's loads, I'm sure there's loads and loads more stuff like that, which would be good fun, you know, but, you know, start off with your own mountain. That's the key. You know, you can start off with the ark for your daily walk with God, but then look to engage your own mountain and start ruling from there, you know, and that will be, you know, within the seven spheres that you've got, you know, that was what I would encourage, that where people to start with, because, you know, we don't want to try running before we can walk, and those are the basic things that we've all been given authority for. And you have an angel assigned to that mountain and to that throne that you can talk to, and that they're there to give you guidance on judicial protocol. You know, do I need to make a declaration from the heaven? Do I need to, you know, call things that be not as if they were? What do I need to do? You know, and the more you get used to it, the more your spirit will just do it. You just do it. You find yourself doing things, saying things, it just flows. But, you know, it takes some time to build that up. But the more time you spend there, the quicker it gets and the easier it gets. You know, I spent a lot of time developing these pathways. You know, it didn't come overnight. You know, I spent a lot of time. You know, I would spend an hour at a time just going into the realms of heaven, presenting myself as a living sacrifice, engaging with different parts of the tabernacle until I found it easier to get into the ark. Now I just go straight in, generally. But I had to develop yielding myself, presenting myself for God to transform me. And he did a lot of transformatory stuff in dealing with seed line and genetic transformation, bloodline stuff in that process, which gave me greater authority and access into that realm. You know, and I would spend an hour every day, you know, opening my gateways, and I'd spend another hour every day presenting myself as a living sacrifice. That's why these pathways are really easy for me now, because, you know, I spent probably a year, 18 months going through them every day. You know, now, you know, I can gauge those pathways by thought, and go to wherever I need to go, but I couldn't at the start. I couldn't do it at the start because I was having to learn the pathway. You know, but I know, but by me having gone there, I can help people to get there much quicker because you open doors to things that you've been, but you know, you have to still develop it as a pathway for yourself. You know, I was talking to someone earlier, and it's like, you know, I can keep opening doors for people because I have the authority to do that, but I can't make those doors become their doors. You know, and it's like you don't want to keep going through the doors that I open. You have to go through your own doors that you open. You know, and that does take some practice and development and engagement in the protocols themselves. Yeah. So I don't know how much time you've got. I don't know whether you want to engage in maybe let's get a scroll and take it through some of the process, perhaps.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, it's not. It's basically just engaging. So, just encourage you again, just to close your eyes and begin to think of Revelation 4:1. You know, behold, you know, there's a door standing open in heaven. You know, and we have a gateway that takes us up into the realms of heaven. And we're just going to step in now into that realm, in the realm of the heaven, in heaven. There's a doorway. Jesus is standing in that doorway. He takes us by the hand. And he's just going to take us through some of the dimensions of the realm of the kingdom of God, through the realm of the kingdom of heaven, and just sense. I just want to encourage you just to breathe in the atmosphere. Just breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. Just sense the freedom. Just really sense that atmosphere as we're just going through the different veils of the kingdom of God through into the kingdom of heaven as Jesus takes us through those veils. Now he just leads us right through the veil of life and brings us into the Holy of Holies, engaging around the Ark of his presence. Now you can just look into the presence of God as he is manifesting between the cherubim. So we think of the names of God. Just Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. The lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. The lion, the ox, the eagle of the man. They just feel their presence as they are manifesting. See what your alignment is with. Just be drawn to step into and see things from the perspective of God. So we step into him, into his very presence. Now within the ark, there's the manna. There's a pot of manna representing the will of God. Now, Jesus will give you a mandate. Just sense what he's giving you. It may come as a scroll, may come as a picture, it may come as words. But you're going to get a mandate from him. So I want you to just take that mandate and place it within your heart. Place it within your innermost being. Now, Jesus is going to take us by the hand, and he's going to take us into the Court of Chancellors, and you're going to bring what you carry within your heart from the mandate that he's released to you and bring it before the Court of Chancellors for the Protocol of Heaven. Now they have a scroll. Now just engage with that court and just sense how it's functioning, what's going on as you bring that mandate that you carry in your heart, and see how the chancellors respond and engage with your mandate. Now, Jesus is going to take you now, so he's taking you by the hand now, and again, now he's going to take you to your mountain. Now, on your mountain, there's a throne. You can sit on that throne. Now Jesus is before you, the angel of your throne is behind you. You can just sense his presence. You might want to look and see what he looks like and see what is around you. Now towards this mandate that you've been given today, Jesus places a crown on your head. He gives you a scepter. Now the crown has jewels of a particular color. I'm going to just sense what the color, both within the crown and the scepter, is. Jesus places a mantle around you of authority that you carry towards this mandate that you've been given. Now you can begin to look from the position of authority and look down and see the other mountains. You may see other mountains there. Just begin to observe. Sense the canopy of angels that is around you. You have the canopy while you're enthroned there. The 10 orders of angels are encamped around you. Just begin to sense those which orders are associated with your mandates. Maybe want to look into the realms of those different orders. Just allow your spirit to engage there. Now, Jesus would take you by the hand again, and he would get you to take what you received in the Chancellor's Court towards the mantle, the mandate that you've been given, and take it to the Court of Angels. So he's leading you into the Court of Angels, the Court of Angels, the angels, and the orders of angels are aligned, waiting for you to present your mandate to them. Just allow them to engage with you on assignment. Some will be on assignment into the realm of the atmosphere of the earth that clear the airwaves. Some will be assigned into different areas of the realms of the kingdom, and some will be assigned to come into this realm and go before you and prepare the way. Just begin to sense their engagement. Now Jesus would just take us back to our mountain. You can be seated, enthroned, and just sense from your spirit anything you need to do, anything you need to declare, anything you need to speak to move. If there are obstacles or mountains of opposition, then speak. You need to create and call things forth. Again, be aware of the angels and their ministering for you in this. And just allow your spirit to begin to outwork and flow from the mantle that you've been given. I'm just looking and seeing, and I can see colors on the mountains. I can see colors coming from you. I can see frequency coming from you. I can see sounds and fragrances being released from the words and the heart that you carry. Light emanating. Now Jesus takes you by the hand again, and I'm just going to ask him to take you individually to places he wants to show you in the realms of the kingdom. Just sense him taking you through realms and dimensions of the kingdom. Just really let your senses becoming aware and in tuned of where you're going, what you're flowing through, what you're moving through, and just allow him to take you where each of you need to be. Now just let Jesus again just come and take you by the hand and just guide you back. And you can step back through the veils and the dimensions of heaven back through into this realm. Okay.
That was good. I learned a lot. You know, I got so much about desire.
Yeah. And
it was really good. I need to work on that.
Good. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, because a lot of that's what happens. It's like God starts to do things at a level which then begins to just draw us towards those things that are mandated for us to do, you know. And sometimes it's like you can't just put your finger on it, but you know something's happened in your engagement, and you know something is realigned, and something in your spirit is being connected, and you begin to, things begin to change, you know, as a result of it. So, you know, and again, you know, we've fairly quickly gone through some of those. You know, you can spend a half an hour in one of those places. You know, this is just really, it's just opening the door so that you can then re-engage and you can re-find those places, go back there. You know, each time you need something, you know, I'm going to take my mandate there, or I'm going to take a scroll, I'm going to, you know. And did anywhere Jesus took you at the end of that? Did you go anywhere that you've not been before? Was that good, positive, things that happened there?
It was really good. I've never been to where I went. It was amazing. It was like a crystal, I don't know, like a crystal castle. And it was all blue, like the door, I went in and it was all blue, and then it had like almost like a pool that I walked down with Jesus into. And then when I came up, the pool became like my robe.
Right, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, and then I saw like these white doves, and the white doves just swirled around me, and then they went into my robe, which is really weird, I don't know. And then the robe went up over me like a wave, and it was just like, ah, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. It was,
yeah,
mind-blowing, actually.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent. Anyone else want to share anything? Feel free to share if you'd like to.
Okay, well, I have something. I seem to always get things a little bit different than other people, and I get encounters in my sleep that I draw from those the next day, and it's almost like my dreams are just so huge that I take from that, but I don't necessarily like see the next day yet. Have you heard of that, where it starts in your sleep and in your and you take it from there, and then you start seeing actually with your eyes like you do in your dreams? Can you speak into that? Just because I'm okay with it, but I don't want to limit myself. I don't want to hit up against a ceiling if God wants to just open up the whole realms during the day.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, whenever I go to sleep, I put my spirit into a place of engagement with God.
Mm-hmm.
I either go to my garden or I go into the realm of heaven. It's like, you know, I want my spirit. Now, I know Ian Clayton talks about the night watch and training our soul to be awake with our spirit while our body's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I can't honestly say I've managed to do that. I think once or twice it happened, but I couldn't work out how I did it. It's like, but my spirit goes anyway, and so when I wake up in the morning, I'm expecting my spirit to have revelation of what it's been doing at night, of spending time in the presence of God. So often I wake up with a sense of something that I've received in the night, but then I would then go and by choice go and outwork that. And so it's good to receive things, but we have to administrate what we see and experience. So that's where stepping in and learning the protocols of engagement by deliberately being able to go in and out so that we can administer it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think God works with all of us differently because we're all different. And it's really just finding, okay, how does this work for me, and how can I grow and expand those understanding of that, so you're not limited by where you are, but where you are is the starting point for a journey that's going to take you deeper into the things of God and ultimately to be established in sonship and rulership, you know. So yeah,
good.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, so does anyone else want to share anything about what they experienced or anything before we go? I think I've got to go in a few minutes.
Well, I had a, it was really awesome encounter, but what's interesting to me is how they're all so incorporated. You know what I mean? Like the Lord takes, he says what he showed me, took me as an eagle off the mountain that faced the God. And then I was flying over the city, the country. And when he gave me the word, it was very interesting because, you know, it's Isaiah 61, he's anointed me to set captives free.
Yeah.
And that was on my scroll, and it was interesting when you said to go down, you know, or let the Lord take you. It was like I went to the deep, deep places. I didn't know if I was going in the galaxies, but it became the ocean, and I went down to the bottom of the deep. And I ended up seeing all these jewels, and it was so interesting. It was really intense because it was like, wow. Because I was seeing, like, the declarations, why I'm called to declare things. And it's like when I speak, the vibration that comes out of me literally lights up the jewel in people or the color.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just interesting, the angels, like you're saying, that are really there to help and to release things in the atmosphere. That I don't think I really saw the importance of it. I've been sensing the urgency, but I didn't understand it all.
Sure, yeah. It's good. I mean, you know, there's no right and wrong in these things. It's just where we engage. The thing is to do it regularly enough that it becomes your lifestyle.
Right.
That's the key, really. Because we can do it on odd occasions, but it needs to be how we live, because Jesus lived in those dual realms all the time. So we want to go from having visions and visitations where we go and we come and we go to habitation where we're living both in both realms and able to be conscious of what we're doing in both realms. And that's part of learning to train our senses to do that. And so these things do develop, and the more we do them, really. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, right. I've got to go from there. So we'll.